Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the meet and greet again, and welcome to all our online viewers. So we're ready for another meet and greet, and we have one left after this one. So give her your love. She can walk on water. Ira Losko from Malta. Yes, we will have the other photo opportunity directly after the little meet and greet. Ira, can you please introduce your friends?
So, on my left-hand side, there is Anton Attard, who's my head of delegation. It's Malta's head of delegation. And next to me, there's Scorpion, who is the dancer accompanying me on stage. And I'm obviously Ira.
Obviously.
Thank you so much for being here.
Everybody's happy to see you. 2002. What kind of memories does that bring back?
Oh my God. I was so young and so inexperienced, and yet I think I managed to pull through, and I had, such a pleasant surprise by placing second at the Eurovision Song Contest that year. It's just good memories, really. Very good vibes, the same vibes that we have this year. Our delegation is very united. There's a lot of people with a lot of friendly faces that I've worked with before in Malta. So I'm happy to have them here and to have them with me. And it's just all positive, So, yeah.
But you see, the Eurovision Song Contest has developed over the years, as all these people know. They've been following it. So what do you think about how big it has become?
I think that it's amazing, but it's also a bit daunting at first. In fact, when I reconsidered, taking part in the Eurovision Song Contest again, it was one of the things that made me stop and think, should I do it again? And then instantly, because of the way it's evolved and because of how big it's become and how much importance it has been given throughout the years in the music industry, it just made me say yes instantly.
And then it's much more important to pick the right song when coming
That, but
back.
that's always.
Yeah, of
It's
course.
always very important when you're an artist to pick the right music that you write and the right song that you want to, release as a single, for example, because you want a lot of people to like that song, because you want it to fare well in the industry. But then it also has to be a song that you personally like.
So how did this procedure go for you this year?
Well, it was a bit different for Malta this year. I first won the national final, I think in January or February, was that? In January. I won in January, and the question was posed to me by PBS, who organized the national final, whether I would like to challenge my song or, test it. And I instantly said, yes, why not? Let's go for this new rule that was there, I think, for the past 2 years. And we instantly started getting songs from international songwriters as well as national songwriters. And I listened to a couple of songs. We reached a final selection of 16, which I recorded. And then we had a national jury and an international jury. And then finally, the decision was mine after the song was selected. And it happened to be Walk on Water.
So you really recorded 16 songs?
Yes, that's what I do.
Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot. Do we have any questions from the audience? We can start over there with the gentleman in the blue shirt. Stand up, please.
Hello, Ira.
Hi.
This is Fernando Mendes with Radio International. Well, I know that first you will need to complete this Eurovision mission, but I was wondering what your plans were for after this. Is there an album in the making? Can we expect it? For when? And which genres, which style of music is it going to consist of?
Okay, so before I decided to take part in the national final, I had already completed writing a full album. Which is on hold right now, so I just need to put the finishing touches on it. But with the 16 songs that I've recorded, there's another album good to go as well. So, yes, the future plans are definitely to have an album released, possibly by the end of this year. So yes, more music from Ira Losko coming your way.
We're bringing back the 80s with a double album.
That's right.
It was very popular then. Yes, sir, there in the grey shirt.
Hi, Ira.
Hi.
Kevin from Georgian Public Broadcaster. According to betting odds, you are in top six. Mm-hmm. How does that make you feel?
Well, it makes me feel good, actually. But I like to place my my thoughts on how my show is going to go on that night. So those 3 minutes are crucial for me. Obviously, being favored in the betting odds and being in top six, you know, gives you more of a fighting spirit. But I don't let that kind of, you know, be the direction towards where I put all my energies. I'm going to put my energies solely on my performance on that night and on making sure that I make my country proud and that I'm really happy on stage and that I make other people feel happy too.
Hi, it's Martijn van der Veen from the Netherlands. I heard you supported actions against bullying and actions
yes.
against to help teenagers prevent from being victim of revenge porn.
Yes.
Can you tell us how and what you did exactly?
Okay. So ever since I participated in the Eurovision Song Contest in 2002, a lot of people in Malta started asking me to visit schools. And I did that voluntarily, you know. I used to go to a school almost every week because I believe that education should always be present in everyone's life. I think it's a very good tool to have. You always have to have a plan B, and that's what I tell younger children always. And when I started going around the school, I thought I had to give a positive message. And one of those positive messages was against bullying, because I do believe that, unfortunately, during the time in children's lives where they are, you know, growing up and trying to find themselves and be themselves, that unfortunately they get faced with bullying at school. So I decided to take action and to speak out against it. I also had a concert where the majority of schools in Malta attended this concert. There were over 10,000 children in a little arena that we have in Malta, and that was also promoting an anti-bullying campaign.
Hi, Ira. Hi. Alistair Birch from SBS Radio in Australia. I understand you've been involved in making music for TV commercials. Is that correct?
For TV commercials? In the very, very early time in my career, yes, I've done some jingles.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to ask, how is that different from regular TV music? And do you remember your maybe catchiest jingle?
I don't know if I remember my catchiest jingle, but I remember that, yes, the first job I was asked to do was write a jingle for a particular campaign, which I won't mention so that I don't mention any any adverts. But yes, I mean, it's completely different, but it's also fun because you need to get the juice in those few seconds. It's fun to do as well.
What kind of feeling is it to be in the viewing room and watching and listening to the song you've been working for a while with now? How was that?
It feels amazing. It feels good because it feels like we're reaching a pinnacle, you know, we're reaching the summit now of all the journey, and it feels comfortable. It feels really good. It felt comfortable being on stage. Mm-hmm. So it feels comfortable to watch myself. Obviously, there are things that can be improved. Mm-hmm. As always, that's why we have, you know, these rehearsals. Yeah. But yeah, it feels good.
Questions? Gentleman there in the white t-shirt.
Hi, Ira. It's
Hi.
Josh here from WeeWeeBlogs.com. Over the past couple of days, we've seen some very technical rehearsals from other countries, and yourself included. How do you think your staging differentiates yourself from the likes of Russia or Armenia or other countries that have technical staging as well?
I think that this question should be answered by the technical guy here on the panel, who is Anton. So I'll leave it in his hands.
Okay. What we try to achieve with SVT is trying to do something different, you know, trying to do something which was not used before. Obviously, it's very challenging, and we need to follow up with SVT because there are issues which need to be solved, and we'll be discussing all this with SVT, but it's very challenging, so challenges bring... it's not easy, but it will be fine.
Thank you. Yes, please, white t-shirt.
Hi, it's Danny from EC Bubble. Nice to see you again.
Hi, Danny.
You went to quite a few of the preview parties around Europe in Riga and Amsterdam and London. How were they for you, and how was it to get your song across to the fans there?
It was real good fun in comparison to when I first participated back in 2002. This was a pleasant thing to do because I got to meet a lot of the other contestants, whereas, you know, before you didn't really get to meet them because the rehearsals were scheduled so tightly next to each other. So you'd only see the person before you and the person after you and just said hi and, you know, kind of exchange niceties to each other. So this was really good because we got to become a really little close-knit group. It was also exciting to share the song live before we actually got here and did the rehearsals. And it made us, I think, a bit more comfortable as well because we sang it live beforehand. So, yeah, I love the pre-party idea. I think it's great.
Is it the first time you're in Stockholm?
No, actually, it's my third time because I've been here on songwriting missions with Dead Mono and with Marcus Black as well.
Yeah, so you can probably give some pointers to these people out here, what to see and what to do in Stockholm.
Well, unfortunately, when you're songwriting, you don't get to do a lot of sightseeing.
It's airport studio.
Exactly. And it's indoors for like hours on end. Okay. So I think I would like you, after this press conference, to tell me what I can see in these 15 days.
Great. Black t-shirt there in the middle.
Hi, JP.
Hello, Ira. Hello, Team Malta. Good to see you again, and welcome back to Eurovision Song Contest.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, congratulations to a fantastic vocal performance you had on the
Thank
rehearsals.
You very much.
We saw that here in the press center. You are a well-established artist in Malta and also beyond that. What are your expectations for your career after the Eurovision Song Contest? How can it be helping you?
Well, I think the Eurovision Song Contest can help any artist to elevate their profile and also to share their music with a much wider audience. I believe that the first time round that I did it, I had a very good 14 years of doing very different things and a lot of, you know, really cool experiences, a lot of collaborations with international artists and a lot of opening concerts for international artists as well. So I think that the same thing will happen after, because I always keep a very positive frame of mind.
You see the young artists coming up today and getting into music and maybe reaching Eurovision Song Contest. What would you like to say to them to think about?
Well, firstly, I think music keeps you young at heart. So I do feel like one of the young artists too. But what I would like to say to them is just to be true and honest to themselves and to enjoy every experience that life throws at them. The Eurovision Song Contest is a great experience. It's a great experience for, encompassing a lot of different genres together and a lot of different traditions and cultures. It's what the Eurovision stood for, you know, many years back and still stands for today. And the slogan, Come Together, is really, you know, a symbol of that. So the only advice, if I can call it that, I can give them is to enjoy the ride of anything they do. And if they are participating in the Eurovision Song Contest, to enjoy it.
Yeah. Hey, Ira, Gil from musictoday.com. I remember last year there were rumors about you participating in the Malta Eurovision Song Contest and you got it as a surprise that many people support you. Also this year watching the Malta Eurovision Song Contest, it seemed that everybody was supporting you. So my question is, what is the feeling or the reactions you get from the people in the streets of Malta regarding your participation or at all?
Oh, I love people in general. I mean, I think it's great that I love people in general because in this job you have to. If you don't, I think you would be very an artist that seems to be a bit dishonest. So I love people. So I think that because I love people in Malta especially, but everywhere, I think that I get that love back. So I feel really great to have their support. I've had a lot of personal messages in the past few days and a lot of very good feedback on Facebook. You cannot ever be liked by everyone, but the majority of the people seem to be rooting for me, so I'm very happy about that.
Great.
Hi.
Hi, Zain Yusuf from Vision Magazine in UK. I've actually got a question for the head of delegation. Now, Malta is one of the countries that many Eurovision fans want to win so we can go and visit your wonderful island. Now, we know you put on a great Junior Eurovision show, you know, and you're going to do it again this year. But I know many sort of supporters here are worried, does Malta have the infrastructure, you know, or the desire or the buildings to actually hotels to put on the major Eurovision show?
Okay, I think as a country, in terms of infrastructure, hotels, for those of you, I see many familiar faces here, have been to Malta a few times. I think the infrastructure is there. I think the willingness is there. So should the occasion arise, I'm sure we can surpass some, let's say, technical issues which we might have. But where there's a will, one easily finds a way. As you know, I'd like to use this occasion also to invite you to Malta for the Junior Eurovision Song Contest, which will be on the 20th of November. We actually have a press conference here next week. And as you rightly said, I mean, I think Malta managed to take the Junior Eurovision even a step further, you know, in terms of a production level. So we hope we get the occasion to actually host the Eurovision.
Hi, here. I'm John from Eurovision Ireland.
Hi, John.
I've been told by a friend that while you were away from Eurovision, you performed in a revival of the classic Tema 79.
Yes.
I'm hoping that's right. But if you could tell us a bit about what Tema 79 is about and what your experience was like doing that.
Well, the experience was actually very good. It's a song that many people in Malta really love and have close to their hearts. I was very honored to be asked to sing this song. And all I can say is that it speaks about Malta and all its history and tradition. Anyone who hasn't heard the version can find it on YouTube. And I hope that you will enjoy our beautiful language, which I'm so honored to have, with an island of only 450,000 people.
So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very, very much for attending. Now, Ira will stand over here for some photo ops. Thank you again, and we'll be back in about 20 minutes with the Swedish entry meet and greet.